Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Bray Wyatt's WWE release and the fallout from it.
Darby Allin denies referencing CM Punk.
Drama King Matt debuts for Impact Wrestling.
Natalya undergoes ankle surgery.
And Braun Strowman seems to be heading to Qatar to wrestle.
This is the news.
This is the news. This is a Sunday edition of the news with myself, Andrew Pollard, joined by Michael Hamflit. What are you doing there on the Sunday? We should probably say.
Just in love with the content, mate. That's what it is. I could be spending quality time with my wife and kids, but why would I do that when there's so much goddamn wrestling to talk about? Let's do that, shall we?
And we should start with, I guess, the biggest news of the weekend, of the week of, we're now in August, but the biggest news of July, that Bray Wyatt is the latest name to get axed by WWE. A bit of a shocker, but then, I don't know, maybe not, because we've heard rumblings about stuff, about maybe he's not too happy there, and he has been inactive since WrestleMania 37 in that, obviously, that 7-star Meltzer rated match against Randy Orton. And before that, there was, of course, several months of inaction over the last year or so. But yeah, Bray Wyatt has exited the building, as they used to say with Shawn Michaels and, I guess, Elvis Presley back in the day. And since then, there's been a bit of a bit of an update from Fightful Select at first to say that the reason for this was the ever familiar budget cuts line is what Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis, made the call to Braun, to Bray Wyatt and also to certain other members of the roster to inform them of the news. So that, yeah, it's budget cuts. We have to let you go. Sorry about that. Enjoy pastures new. It's, how are you feeling on all this? It's all a bit weird.
I think everybody's feeling every feeling. And budget cuts from John Laurinaitis is this generation's creative has nothing for you. Yep. In the fact that it's coming from his croaky voice and it's a complete lie and totally meaningless. Before we get into Bray, I think most of these cuts, firings, furloughs for the last year and a half always feel the same when they come down. You know full well, particularly this week when we've just had the quarter two earnings reports, that this company is in a position to not need to make budget cuts. And everybody that loses their job in the middle of a pandemic, and despite what wrestling says, a pandemic is still ongoing, it doesn't feel necessary. So yes, I can understand why you wouldn't want to warehouse all your talent or keep them from working or whatever, but sort people out with an income. This is a difficult time. The industry hasn't just fully recovered yet. You were not sending people back onto a free and open and exciting and dynamic market. You were sending them into complete uncertainty when you don't need to. So I think it's, regardless of what you think of any talent that's name ever appears in these lists, you can't just ignore the cruelty at the heart of it, the corporate cruelty at the heart of it.
Yeah.
Bray himself is an interesting one. There's obviously reports earlier this year, which haven't yet come out in the wash relating to this, about how his mental health was. A lot of people linked it, obviously, to the very, very tragic death of Brody Lee, but then, of course, that could just be related to anything. It's an issue that, hopefully is going to be brought more to the forefront now, so that, I imagine, may come out in the wash as time goes on. But strictly in terms of a talent, the discourse was instant and interesting. Bray Wyatt was a guy that divided everybody, seemingly very strictly on two sides of the spectrum. You either loved Bray or you hated Bray. And there was plenty of people that hated Bray, but the people that loved him funded all of that. So parroted the line that he was a creative genius, always put it on the company when the character failed, bought his merchandise in extreme, to extreme costs, such as the $6,000 Fiend title belt, to all the masks, to all the t-shirts, to, in every iteration of this character, there was financial investment there when there was equal amounts of people that just thought, this is ridiculous. This is actually bringing down an already pretty weak WWE product. So it's, I think there's going to be those debates that are going to rage. I worry that nobody learns anything from this. The Venn diagram between people online that I saw last night saying, I cannot believe that WWE have made such a mistake in letting Bray Wyatt go, and the people that were doing the "we're not worthy" pose for Vince McMahon when he opened SmackDown, is a flat circle. And those people need to realize that this has been the case for as long as older heads like us have been watching this product. And I wish that people weren't quite as upset when they find out that their favorites are just, as CM Punk once said, spokes in the wheel, or as Bret Hart once said, old horses. You have to kind of live with the circumstances of the thing you have elected to follow, unfortunately. I hope Bray Wyatt is all right. And I say that as somebody that wasn't ever a big fan, because I think his firing is unfair. But I think anybody that feels shocked by this has to do a bit of homework.
That was it. When the news came out, it was like, there is an issue like, oh, wow, so Bray Wyatt's next. And that could easily tie into, like, you kind of killed that Fiend character dead when Goldberg beat him in, like, 3 minutes. But enough of that sort of he's next. But, yeah, with me, it was that initial shock of, like, oh, wow, this is big. But then within 5-10 seconds, it's like, yeah, it's not all that surprising. Just because WWE is going to WWE, and that budget cuts, when we see because there's so much, I guess, transparency now, they have to be the company in terms of their financials. Like you said, they've just had the quarter twos come in, where it's like, we can see how much revenue is coming in. We can hear, they champion on one hand these record revenues, and then on the other hand, we go, sorry, lads and ladies, we haven't got enough money to pay you. We'll have to let you go. And also there was, seemingly there were plans as of literally this week that Bray Wyatt was going to be returning in August. Possibly for SummerSlam. That seems like, you know, the likely destination, but that's been cancelled. But yeah, shocking news. I'm sure we're going to get lots of fallout from this. And like you said, Hamlet, I think for me, the first thing I thought was, I just hope he's all right. If he decides to stay in wrestling, great. If he doesn't, if he decides that maybe I'm going to walk away and try something else, great. Whatever the guy needs to do, whatever Wyndham Rotunda needs to do. But yeah, all the best for Bray Wyatt. And hopefully it's not the last we've seen of him. Still only 34, so there's still plenty left in that tank.
No, indeed, plenty left in that tank. And indeed, as conversations swirl around where wrestlers might go, we move to pretty big news, thank you very much, from Darby Allin, one of those virtual meet and greets that you see now. And a little scoop has snuck out from one of them. It was with the Asylum Wrestling Store, as reported by Post Wrestling and other outlets. In relation to the promo he cut, of course, on Dynamite on Wednesday. This was immediately after Tony Schiavone revealed the news that they were going to be running Rampage at the United Center in Chicago. It cuts straight to Darby Allin, and the segues in Dynamite are almost never by accident, unlike several you might see on the news today. And in that promo, Darby Allin talked about how there's a lot of men in this world that call themselves the best in the world. Those two things being put back to back, along with a couple of other like really cute teasers from the likes of MJF later on in the show, kind of presented AEW as presenting the perfect sales pitch for a guy they don't want to mention the name of. And Darby Allin is seemingly on message. It was on this virtual meet and greet that he answered a question directly about CM Punk relating to who he was talking about. And he said, quote, "No, that's more Sammy Guevara, you know, because he calls himself the best ever." Yeah, well, people read into it too much. Sammy Guevara, he calls himself the best ever. So, and then he trails off and then it comes back around. It's cool, dude. It's awesome that people actually care and want to know what's going on. So, fair play, I think, to Darby Allin for trying, obviously, to juggle now what is going to be a question that is probably sent his way in any open forum such as this. AEW played a blinder, man. For those that might not have seen, they'd sold, I think it was 10,000 tickets in the first pre-sale, the closed pre-sale to the United Center. We get the public pre-sale early next week. I think it might be Monday. And then general sale. And I mean, that's never felt more redundant a term. It doesn't feel like there's going to be many left available on general sale by that time. You're looking at a huge house for that first dance Rampage. They have sold those tickets, of course, on top of a hot AEW product, but definitely on top of the promise but not promise of CM Punk. They even lingered when Tony made that announcement on fans chanting his name.
Yeah.
It's the polar opposite of when WWE fans chant CM Punk in buildings.
I've been going back and watching Daniel Bryan CM Punk matches, the Over the Limit match from 2012, which is just such a good match. But also, I think a lot of us have, because it's been Money in the Bank season recently, just going back and watching Punk at Money in the Bank in Chicago, and just, I'm getting goosebumps talking about this. It's weird to think about a WWE show and think of that reaction now, of the reaction of me getting goosebumps, but also the reaction of like a crowd. Obviously, it was a very unique situation, but like, you still have people that think like, well, what can CM Punk really bring to the table? It's like the, yeah, okay, it's been 7 years, 7.5 years, whatever it's been, but 6.5 years, 7.5 years. It's been a while. It's been a minute.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's like that guy still has so much to bring to the table. And like you said, AEW have been handling this so well with like, well, all these teasers are there, but no, we're pulling back at the, just at the right moment. But moving on from one possible arrival, or probably, you know, definite arrival in AEW, to a new arrival in Impact Wrestling. And last night, finally saw the homecoming special, the Impact Wrestling arrival of Matt Rayall, who you will probably know better as Aiden English. Now, last month's, was it Slammiversary pay-per-view? They had that vignette where it was Drama King and it was all splashed on, and it was this unseen figure, which everybody thought like, yeah, that's kind of like Drama King Matt, because that's what he's been calling himself on Twitter for the last little while. Been wrestled on the indies as Drama King Matt Morris, I think it was, for a while, as well as his real name, which is Matt Rayall. But he debuted as a surprise mystery partner for Deonna Purrazzo in the Homecoming King and Queen tournament. And they went on to win the whole thing. First and foremost, they went through Hernandez and Alicia Edwards, then through GCW World Champion Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green. And then they beat the Decays, Crazy Steve and Rosemary in the finals to be crowned the Homecoming King and Queen. So yeah, back in the fold in a mainstream environment, Matt Rayall. I think he's an extremely talented fella, and it's just great to see him back in the spotlight, no pun intended.
I think the positioning of him is kind of perfect here. The old adage of, English Aiden's in the impact zone has gradually dissolved over the years as Impact has tried to move away from those TNA quote-unquote shock signings when they would bring people in, save for one awkward Matt Stryker call when he just couldn't help himself after the debut. The rest played out spot on. It was the presentation of a guy that looks and feels like a star without feeling like getting the value range WWE wrestler, which used to be such a problem. The King and Queen being the Drama King and the Virtuosa, it's kind of perfect. When you look at those brackets now, there's nobody seemingly more suited for these roles than those two. It allows for part-time teaming together, which is only going to get over this already awesome reign of Deonna Purrazzo as the Impact Women's Champion. Her stardust might actually rub off on him, which is pretty beneficial for a debutante in Impact Wrestling, where the product is very occasionally hot, but more in moments than in significant matches or long-term stories. I think, like, as somebody that doesn't get to watch as much Impact as I would like, Deonna Purrazzo is an appointment wrestler for me. So I will now, I guess, find myself catching more of Matt Rayall than I maybe would have done previously.
I think it's a great way to bring him in. I think it's a really good fit. I just think it's somebody that has such ability. He's good in the ring, but it's just that, I don't know, it sounds cliche because of the character he's portrayed, but it's the performance that he brings, that the, I don't know, his cadence, his bravado, that whole presentation. And I think Impact nailed it on night one for him, and looking forward to seeing what's next for him. But some less fortunate news I think you've got now on the injury front.
Yeah, from a woman's champion that might not be appointment viewing, unless that appointment is at the doctor's. Andrew Pollard, are you having that? Because Natalia is obviously going to be giving us an update on Monday Night Raw tomorrow night. I work too often with Adam Wilborn, I'm sorry. She's going to be giving us an update tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw, if you're indeed watching this on Sunday. She was injured, of course, in the match against Doudrop and Eva Marie. Had to be helped out. This was followed up by news that she was going to be getting surgery. There was a lovely interaction and exchange with her uncle Brett, where he wished her well coming off the back of the surgery. We have since sort of had like various, I guess, conflicting reports, but the general gist, I think, from PWI was suggesting that she is not going to have to be off that long, that they will need to surrender, they being Natalia and Tamina, pronouns pal, surrender the women's tag team titles. On that, probably for the best, because that division is not in a great state and it's found a semblance of stability with those two. But going forward as well, Natalia's kind of one of them talents, again, finds herself a little bit divisive, but offers great help to the women that maybe aren't getting enough reps in still with the lack of a sort of functioning house show circuit. We've seen before how many wrestlers talk up Natalia as somebody just to work with to help their experience. Surely you would imagine WWE would be wanting to get her back in there as soon as she feels physically able.
Yeah, and it is. When you look at, like, well, We were talking off air about Trish Stratus, how she was out injured for 4 months as women's champion back in the day, and they kept the title on her. And you're thinking, and that was purely because there was nobody really suitable at that time to take the belt. And that's the case now. It's like you look and thinking, well, you had a really good tag team in the Iconics. Speak about them, Wilburn. I can hear him crying somewhere in the distance now. But you had like really good tag teams in the Iconics. You had the Riot Squad. But now it's like you look at the lay of the land of the women's tag division, and there isn't really one. It's just like, keep it on Tamina and Natty for as long as you can, I guess, at this point, until, I don't know, even like Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke isn't a thing now, because obviously Mandy seems destined to be back in NXT full time. So yeah, just keep it on them as long as you can. Hopefully Natty is a full and swift recovery. And it does seem from the reports, it's going to be a case of weeks rather than months, which is always great to hear. Also Serena Deeb, I noticed she's dealing with a knee injury, she said as well on social media. Yeah. So all the best to her, because you talk about Deonna Purrazzo as one of the best in the world. Natalya just on this pedestal as this legend of the business. And Serena Deeb, man, again, appointment viewing for me. Whenever she's on, wherever it is, it's just like, let's watch this woman just tear people apart. It's great. Yeah. It's brilliant. And speaking of tearing apart,
get well soon to her, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, if there was any way to get her in and fit and good to go in time for Britt Baker at All Out, I can't see a better opponent up and down that roster than Serena Deeb.
I would love to agree, and I kind of do agree, but then there's also, I mean, yeah, maybe All Out's too soon, but there is that Thunder Rosa match is on the horizon somewhere.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, that's the classic story of like, well, you beat me, but what did you beat me in? It was unsanctioned. It's the Jericho and Shawn Michaels. But either way, there's options there. I think Serena Deeb or Thunder Rosa to challenge Britt Baker down the line. Either way, I'll be tuning in to see that, and I expect Thunder Rosa to beat her eventually for the title, and then maybe we get Rosa and Deeb. I'll be cool with that as well.
Yes, please.
Yeah, but from one, three injuries there to somebody who's just a beast of a man who is fighting fit and looking in phenomenal shape these days. That was a really random segue. Braun Strowman, you have to give it the big one of that, is seemingly set to, or you can do the choo-choo, the train noise. Either way, works.
I'd have gone with the first one. I think you nailed it.
It's, yeah, all right. Braun Strowman has seemingly got set for his first post-WWE wrestling match, not just an appearance. We've heard about appearances. We saw him at that Bare Knuckle Championship card a couple of weeks ago, maybe last weekend. But as has been reported by PWI, by Pro Wrestling Insider, Strowman is currently expected to wrestle at Qatar Pro Wrestling's SummerSlam 3. I'm intrigued what happened at SummerSlams 1 and 2, but maybe I'll never find out. That doesn't take place until February the 26th of next year, despite me writing 2002 down here, because it's Sunday morning. But it's in Doha, Qatar, and the report says that Strowman's due to fly out and sign a deal in September. The card already has Jon Moxley on it, Brian Cage, Sammy Guevara, EC3, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Will Ospreay advertised. Of course, Ospreay currently out injured, so hopefully he's back in time for that. But this is February of next year. The deal supposedly being signed in September. To me, that screams to WWE, if you do want Braun Strowman back, you need to get him before September.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting one, this, if only because of Braun's current placement in the wrestling landscape. You mentioned Tanahashi, obviously representing New Japan. You've got Jon Moxley, Sammy Guevara, and I think Brian Cage from the AEW side of things.
Yep. And we are fully aware. And EC3. Can't forget EC3.
I can't forget EC3.
WWE, sorry.
I guess would be considered Ring of Honor.
Yeah, he's listed as ROH's EC3. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so like this is a show that is using vast resources to bring together people from this open universe wrestling that we find ourselves in. An open universe that WWE has completely isolated and insulated itself from. So Braun Strowman is kind of forcing them to make a choice on him. He either becomes part of that and like starts staring ruefully towards the forbidden door and all the colleagues that he's going to work with on that night that walk through it, or WWE say, no, we want you with us. A bit of 4D chess from the Monster Among Men that I don't think many of us would have expected.
Yeah, yeah. That's something that needs to be gone into, I think, on this. But if I had said to you a year ago or even 6 months ago, Michael Hamflett, that you would see Braun Strowman and Hiroshi Tanahashi, the ace of New Japan Pro Wrestling, on the same card, would you have believed it?
They were both once aces of their own universes. Maybe that's the dream match. Maybe that's the one you book.
Well,
I think the Strowman Express with a dragon screw. You know, take him down.
No, I'm really. It's I'm just looking at it here, and instantly I'm just thinking, it's going to be Strowman versus Cage. You can't, if you've got those two meaty, beefy boys on a card, it's like, maybe that's what we get. But I don't know. It's like we said, it's September that the deal is supposedly being signed. The show itself is not until February of next year, and that's Qatar Pro Wrestling Super Slam 3. Coming to Doha, Qatar, sometime near you. I don't know. But it feels like this is the right way to wrap up this Sunday edition of the news. Thank you for joining us, Michael Hamflett. I have been Andrew Pollard. Where can people keep up to date with you on the Twitter?
You can find me at Michael Hamflett.
Okay, and be sure to follow us at What Culture Wrestling on Twitter. Follow me at Cultured Left Peg on Twitter. Have a great Sunday, and we'll catch you all soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.